and she bounced on my dick hard, fulfilling her end of the bargain. With a wet pussy that was perfectly tight around my dick, she delivered exactly what I wanted. I relaxed against the seat and watched, my muscular arms helping her rise and fall when she became too tired. Maybe this woman wouldn't be mine forever, but she would be mine for now. Like that, baby. She was the only woman I'd been with without a condom, and going back to that lifestyle would be hard at first. I was used to wet pussy directly against my dick. Now I'd have to get used to the latex that separated me from the thing that made sex so good. Instead of thinking about the disappointing future, I focused on the woman right in front of me, the one with vibrant green eyes and parted lips. She breathed hard in my face from the exertion, an occasional moan escaping from her lips when she wasn't panting. Now the windows were completely fogged up, and my truck rocked from left to right with her bounces. Anyone who drove by would know exactly what we were doing, and that made it better. I could feel her tighten around me, see the blush that entered her cheeks as she prepared for a climax that would make her shake. Still cold? She glared at me as she kept going. Shut up. She kept bouncing, like my dick was a pogo stick. She bit her bottom lip when she didn't need a breath, and the tremors in her body were the warning an earthquake was approaching. This was just a quick fuck on the side of the road, something dirty that would make my truck smell like sex for weeks. I still owned this woman, so I enjoyed calling the shots for a little while longer. I felt my dick thicken as I prepared for an explosion. It's coming. She buried her face in my neck as she finished, moaning into my body as her hips bucked against me. She ground her clit right against my muscles, her nails dragging down my arms at the same time. I gripped her hips and kept her firmly seated on my dick as I exploded. I moaned as I filled her, my entire length shoved deep inside her, so I could give her my cum at the deepest angle. Killing a man used to give me the greatest high in the world, but it didn't compare with coming inside this woman. This feeling really made me feel like a man, not all my money and power. It was the closest to heaven I would ever get. She pulled away so she could look me in the eye, satisfaction in her gaze.
Is this what you do with your other girls?
I'd fucked women in an alleyway, in a bathroom stall, and at the underground. There was nothing special about those screws. They were just about getting off. But I'd never wanted someone so much that I had to pull over on the side of the road just to give a deposit. No, you're the only girl I've ever had.
Chapter 5. Cassini. The sheets rested around our waists, and I slept against his side, my arm draped over his hard stomach and my head on his chest. My leg was tucked between his knees, and my fingers felt the grooves of his abs as I felt my eyes grow heavy. He had just been between my legs, his lips caressing mine like a man in love with a woman. He'd filled me with his seed, his eyes locked on mine as he entered me in such a deep way. Now we lay together in silence, the evening deepening. I slept beside this man every single night. I could go to my bedroom for space, but now all my clothes were in his closet, and that room was abandoned. It had returned to its former glory as a guest bedroom. Not that he had many guests. I was excited to be free again, to live a life without Lucian oppressing me. I could get a coffee at my favorite cafe like I used to. I could walk the streets without looking over my shoulder. But I would also sleep in an empty bed, Balto not there to keep the sheets warm. My life would return to normal, but it would always feel like I was missing something. I wished this man could be in my bed forever. Maybe I was only attached to him because the sex was so good. Maybe I only liked him because he was the first man who was honest and loyal. All of his other traits were characteristics I wouldn't want in a man, like the fact that he was a criminal. He moved my hand off his body, then slid out of bed. When he grabbed his jeans off the floor and pulled a t-shirt out of the closet, I knew he wasn't just going to the bathroom before bed. He pulled on his clothes. I sat up in bed, just as disappointed by his departure as I was by any other time he left. It wasn't only about feeling safe. It was about the comfort of having him beside me. I'd become used to the sound of his deep breathing while he slept, the occasional snore that annoyed me at the time, but also reminded me he was there. In the midst of winter, he kept the sheets so warm, acting as my personal heater. And he was built like a brick house, so he was my own bear. Please don't go. I was a proud woman who didn't like to admit weakness, but for whatever reason, I wore my heart on my sleeve for this man. My emotions were plain as written text. And I didn't care if he thought I was being clingy. Maybe I was clingy. It made no difference to me. He approached the edge of the bed and stared at me with those brilliant blue eyes. He wore a cold expression, annoyed just like he was every time I asked him to stay. He held my gaze for a long time, letting the silence rise like smoke to the ceiling.
Don't look at me like that.
Like what?
Like the sexiest thing in the world.
He pulled the sheets back, then snatched me by the ankle. With no effort at all, he pulled me across the bed until I was close to him.
Don't beg me to stay when you know I can't.
You can do anything.
Yes, I can do anything. But I honor my commitments.
His hand moved up my leg to my knee, his fingertips grazing my soft skin.
Would you want a man between your legs who abandons his responsibilities?
I couldn't answer that clearly. I was selfish and wanted him all to myself. All I know is I want you here with me every night.
You're perfectly safe here, baby. Just because I'm not here doesn't mean I'm not protecting you.
That's not why. His hand moved to my inner thigh, his large hand gripping me tightly. He watched me with those eyes that were so pretty, but so masculine at the same time. He had such a hard face, sharp cheekbones, and a constant look of threat that the prettiness of his eyes balanced him out. I like listening to you breathe. I'm so used to it at this point that it's hard to sleep without that sound. You heat the sheets to a perfect temperature, and when you aren't here, I can never get comfortable again. I prefer your body over the pillow. I like feeling your chest rise with every breath you take. I like knowing that nothing could ever happen to me without you by my side. Men have only betrayed me, and you're the first man who's actually loyal to me. You're my safe place. His hand slid down to my ankle and gripped me gently, like he might yank on me again. He stared at my long legs and then looked at the area between my thighs, turning into a wolf that examined its prey before it struck. His eyes lifted back to mine, just as aggressive as before.
Baby, you're torturing me.
I don't have to torture you. You could just stay. I opened my legs slightly, inviting him back to bed. He stared at my pussy once more before he grabbed the insides of my thighs and spread me wide apart. His large body bent down and he moved his face right between my legs, kissing the pussy that he'd filled multiple times that night. My head rolled back and I moaned when I felt his tongue lick my clit. Oh, I felt my legs shake at the touch of his kiss, felt my heart flicker in arousal. My fingers dug into his short hair and I ground against his face. He gave my clit a hard suck before he righted himself.
I'll be home in the morning.
I shut my legs and pouted. That was mean.
You tortured me, I tortured you.
He grabbed his phone off the nightstand and shoved it into the pocket of his jeans.
Bye, baby.
I stared at him in disappointment, missing him before he even left. Can I come with you? He stopped and turned back to me.
I'll drink with the guys at the underground. Then I'll make some of my rounds around the city collecting taxes from the men under my domain. It's no place for you.
But I'm always safe by your side. He stared at me hard.
You're going to have to accept that your man won't always be here with you at night. I'm the star of nightmares, and nightmares only happen in the dark.
Do you ever think about walking away from it all? I whispered. Do you ever wonder what life would be like if you were just a man, not the Skull King? He looked at me in profound silence, his gaze becoming more heated with every passing second.
No. I held his gaze, not showing my disappointment.
I will always be the Skull King. Never a man.
Chapter 6 Balto.
Any ideas?
Heath sat with me at the bar, his fingers wrapped around his scotch. No.
I figured killing Lucien would be the only thing you cared about.
I thought about getting my revenge all the time. I was prepared to end the feud permanently and hoped I'd find the diamond afterward. Once he was dead, I would claim all of his possessions and burn down his house. It'll happen when it's meant to happen.
Yeah?
He drank from his glass and watched Denise wait on a table.
Or you're dragging your feet because you aren't ready to let Cassini go.
I stared at my brother, my hand resting against my glass. He wore a slight grin, like he'd said the perfect thing to get to me. Truth be told, he did burrow under my skin.
You can keep seeing her after Lucien is dead, you know.
No, I can't. When Lucien was dead, and she didn't need my protection anymore, it was officially over. If she stayed with me, our arrangement would turn into a relationship. I wasn't the kind of man that could commit to a woman for longer than a few months. There was no point. I had to ditch Cassini before it came too complicated. The longer she stayed, the more difficult it would be to let her go.
Why not?
You know why. I drank from my glass.
You could also step down, and I could take your place.
I turned to him. My eyes narrowed. Is that why you're pushing Cassini on me so hard? Because you think you could take my throne? That would never happen.
Why not?
Because the men don't want you, that's why. He shrugged.
I've been doing good work here, building a lot of trust.
Being the Skull King is about more than good work. It's about controlling hundreds of crime lords without lifting a finger. It's about crushing skulls without hesitating. It's about outsmarting your enemies before they even realize they're your enemy. You don't have enough experience, Heath. At least, not at this moment.
That's inspiring, he said sarcastically.
What do you expect me to say? You want my job?
It's not like I want your woman or anything.
I gave him a look full of warning.
Because I don't, he said quickly. And you really have no plans for Lucien? Hit him first, or let him hit us first? No trick up your sleeve?
Hitting him first is tricky because he can wire explosives at his location, lure us in, and then detonate.
With him inside?
He asked.
That's a suicide mission.
No, he could pick a meeting spot and then wait for us to get there first. If we hit his home without warning, he could have that place rigged too. Explosives are for cowards, it's impersonal. It's like hunting with a gun. It's from a distance. Lucien is weak and has no physical strength. It's in his best interest to avoid me at all costs. I sipped my scotch.
Good point.
And I can't wait too long because he may try to infiltrate the underground or the compound with explosives. Then we'll really be screwed.
Maybe we should tighten security.
I shrugged. Maybe.
Or maybe we should use Cassini to draw him out.
The thought had crossed my mind, too. I'm not going to use her as bait.
It'd probably be easier if you did.
I stared at my glass. No.
Well, then you could use me as bait.
I pulled my gaze away from my glass to look at him.
He doesn't know there's two of us. We could make him believe I'm really out somewhere alone. When he makes his move and takes me, there's no need for explosive. That's where you jump in.
It wasn't a terrible idea. One problem with that, he might kill you on the spot.
Or he might ask me to hand Cassini over. I can stall until you get there.
I shook my head. With me out of the picture, he could get Cassini himself. There's a good chance he'd kill you then and there.
Not if you're nearby and covering me.
I couldn't bait Cassini, but I couldn't bait my brother either. This is my war. I'd lure him out myself. You would cover me.
You're better in a fight.
Doesn't matter. I'm not risking you. He grinned.
You care about your baby brother?
I faced forward and ignored him.
You love me, asshole, he said with a chuckle.
That's sweet. You flatter yourself. I just don't want any of my men to die for my cause.
Whatever you say, man.
He finished his glass and wiped his mouth with the back of his forearm. He turned to see a beautiful blonde woman, the kind of person that was never spotted in the underground. She wore a black dress cut low in the front, and a thick mink coat that covered most of her frame was on top. With curled blonde hair, bright red lipstick, and eyes blue like mine, she reminded me distinctly of Marilyn Monroe.
Here she is.
Heath pointed to the seat across from us.
Miss Lightning, take a seat.
I glared at my brother because I'd told him I wasn't interested in providing protection to this woman's prostitutes. But Heath went over my head and made it happen anyway. If we didn't share the same blood, his eyes would be so black they would be swollen shut. The blonde sat across from me and swept her hair off her shoulder, displaying a confident charm every prostitute possessed. They were fantasies, dreams that men had every night. It was their job to be real, to seduce all the men around them with subtle looks and elegant poise.
The Skull King, I've heard so much about you.
Nothing good, I hope.
Actually, to the contrary.
She leaned forward, a seductive smile on her lips. Denise came over and refilled our drinks.
What can I get you?
Miss Lightning wasn't distracted by the waitress's tits on display.
I'll have what they're having, honey.
Denise poured the scotch, then walked away. Miss Lightning never pulled her gaze off my face.
A few of my girls tell me you're their favorite client.
I always pay in full, plus tip. I wasn't one of those assholes who fucked a woman then roughed them up when they demanded to be paid. Taking advantage of a woman just because she was small and powerless was pathetic. Only pussies did shit like that.
That's not the only reason,
she said.
Most of them say they would provide their services for free, because you make them feel like the client, rather than the other way around.
I didn't react to her statement, even though my brother listened to every word. I didn't talk about my sex life to anyone. It was obvious I screwed whores and picked up women at bars, but I didn't share details. Heath tells me you're interested in getting protection, that you want me to be your scarecrow. I'm sorry to waste your time, but I'm not interested. I'm already overbooked as it is. I can't give you the time and attention you need. She continued to stare at me with that same sexy look.
I manage hundreds of women throughout this city. And you know better than anyone that these women aren't walking the streets late at night. My women are beautiful, sexy, perfect tens.
Yes, I know from personal experience.
And you also know what their fee is.
They were the most expensive whores in the world.
I'm willing to give you 30% of everything we make, plus perks.
It wasn't an issue of money. I just didn't have time. When I didn't ask about the perks, she elaborated.
The girls would be happy to service you for free, whenever you want.
That wasn't appealing to me either. Right now I had a woman I couldn't get enough of. I can put some of my guys on it.
No.
She took a drink of her scotch, then licked her lips.
I want you. You're the only man in this town who has the kind of power that I need.
I'm flattered, I said, but I'm not a pimp.
You wouldn't be a pimp, she said. You would be security.
Again, I don't have the time. My loyalty is to the Skull Kings, and I can't take any time away from them. I'm sure your offer is very generous, but you're asking me for time I can't give. If I agreed to this, I would never be home in the evenings. I would be out every single night. And Cassini wouldn't like that. She wouldn't be around much longer, so I shouldn't make my decisions based on that, but I didn't want to waste the time we had left. Miss Lightning sighed in disappointment.
I don't think you understand how much cash is on the table.
I don't think you understand how rich I am, She opened her clutch and wrote down a number.
This is my number, and this is your monthly income if you decide to take my offer.
She pushed it toward me, then rose to her feet. I glanced at the card, and while I was impressed by the number, I didn't show it. She moved to my side, then placed her hand on my shoulder.
Call me, if you change your mind.
She leaned down and pressed a kiss to my neck. I grabbed her wrist and pushed her off. Kiss me like that again, and I'll break your hand. I released her, then glared up at her. Instead of being angry, she smiled.
The king as a queen.
I came home at 5 in the morning. The night had passed in a blur because I had so much to do. I paid a visit to my drug dealers to the west and collected their monthly tax. A territory dispute was forming between two rivals, and I had to end the argument before heads started rolling. By the time I walked in the door, I was tired. Cassini wasn't on the couch like I expected her to be. She must have stayed in bed. I whipped up something to eat in the kitchen before I headed to my room. The door was open, so I stepped inside and found her sleeping alone in the large bed. Still naked, she had the sheets pulled to her soft shoulder. Her hair was all over the place, and her arm reached for my side of the bed like she hoped I was there. I kicked off my shoes, then stripped off my clothes. She must have heard the clothes hit the ground because she opened her eyes and sat up.
You're home.
She ran her fingers through her messy hair and pulled it out of her face as she blinked her eyes, slowly coming to reality. It was still dark outside because sunrise was hours away.
What time is it?
5. I pulled back the covers and got into bed.
You were gone all night.
I turned her onto her back and moved on top of her. My thighs separated hers, and I held myself over her frame, anxious for sex before I went to sleep. I'd had a long night, and tensions were high. A good fuck was the best way to unwind. She could go back to bed when I was finished. She was receptive, like always. Her hands glided up my chest, and she widened her legs farther because she was ready to take me. Her eyes looked into mine with a sleepy cast, but there was desire there, along with deep affection. Her eyes swept across my body until they focused on my neck. Her eyes narrowed noticeably before she reached up and dragged her fingers across my skin. I knew what she spotted before she said a word. I forgot to wipe away the woman's lipstick after she kissed me. She brought her fingers close to her face and examined the bright red color that stained her fingertips. She rubbed her tips together before she gave me a look of accusation.
Looks like someone had a long night.
My woman got so jealous. Anytime she thought I was fooling around while she slept alone, she got so angry. It was cute, most of the time, except when I looked like a lying two-timer. Right now, I appeared pretty guilty.
Care to explain this?
Her hand pressed against my stomach, keeping my dick from sliding inside her. My hand slid into the back of her hair, and I held myself on top of her, eager to have this conversation while I was inside her. That pussy was home to me, the only place I ever wanted to be. Since she was my prisoner, I could have had as many women as I wanted. I didn't owe her anything, but she was the only woman I wanted to have, the only woman I wanted to kiss. A prostitute asked me to be the pimp for her girls. She's the mastermind behind the biggest prostitution ring in the city, and she's having a hard time getting men to pay for services. Her girls are getting hurt because of it, physically and financially. I said no because I don't have the time or the interest. She kissed me on the neck before she left. That was the truth, and if Cassini didn't believe me, I would fuck her anyway. Her guard slowly lowered, and the accusation that had been heavy in her gaze a moment ago faded away. She grabbed my hips and directed me inside her, pushing my crown past her lips and pulling me deep inside her. I sank until there was nowhere else to go. Completely sheathed in her goodness, I was home. Her pussy felt better than usual, and I knew that had nothing to do with her wetness and tightness. The trust shone in her eyes, her immediate acceptance of my story. She knew I didn't want anyone else. She knew I wasn't sneaking around behind her back when she was the only woman I wanted to come home to. That innate trust was the sexiest thing in the world, something that made me harder than I'd ever been in my entire life. My fist tightened on her hair, and I kissed her. "You know you're the only woman I want." She gripped my lower back and guided my thrusts, telling me how she wanted me to make love to her.
"I know."
Chapter 7. Cassini. When noon came around and Balto still wasn't awake, I went into the bedroom and found him lying on his back, his head turned to the side as his large chest rose and fell with his even breaths. I pulled the sheets down slightly and spotted his hard dick, his morning wood in the afternoon. He must have had a long night last night, because he didn't usually sleep this late. He normally would have been done with the gym by now. I peeled off my clothes and straddled his hips, stirring him slightly but not enough to wake him up. I guided his length inside me, then slowly slid down, getting every single inch exactly where it belonged. I moved until I felt his balls against my ass. A deep moan escaped his lips, and he inhaled a deep breath like the sensation was enough to make him gasp for air. His hands absent-mindedly reached for my hips, and when he felt me, he lifted me slightly. His head turned my way, and he opened his eyes, a sleepy look deep within. He enjoyed my cunt too much to be angry I'd woken him up. His fingers dug into my belly and back as he squeezed me on top of him.
"You have my attention."
"Good." I arched my back and slid up and down his length, my hands pressed against his hard chest for balance. I'd never felt more satisfied with another man inside me, not even with my lovers before Evan. Balto felt like the first man I'd ever really been with. All the others just seemed like practice and torture. He guided my hips up and down, watching my tits shake as I slid down to his base and back up again.
"You're a pro with my dick."
"Because I love him." Balto made me feel fuller than I ever had. If he didn't arouse me so much, his size would just be painful. But since he was the sexiest man in the world, his enormous package was addictive, more addictive than drugs.
"He loves you too, baby."
He thrust up to meet me, working his hard body to meet me halfway. When I'd seen the lipstick stain on his neck, I'd immediately jumped to conclusions. Another woman had made her mark on him, had claimed him as hers while he was out late at night. But then I remembered that this man wouldn't lie to me, that if he said he was my man, then he was. I couldn't be surprised when other women threw themselves at him, when they came to his side and placed a kiss on his neck as they tried to seduce him. Not only was he the most powerful man in this city, but he was also the hottest. Built like a brick house with a face so handsome he belonged in movies, not crime, he was the kind of man a woman could touch herself to. I couldn't expect to hog him forever without repercussions. I came around his length, my nails leaving marks in his skin. My hips bucked on their own and I lost my breath as I screamed his name. This man always gave me the best climaxes, brought me to the edge of oblivion before I descended into heaven. His hands palmed both of my tits as he finished, grunting in the sexiest way as he filled me.
"Baby."
His body tightened under mine and he squeezed my tits harder, his dick thickening to an even more impressive size. I loved feeling his cum inside me, feeling the weight of this man's arousal. It had never turned me on before, but now it was the sexiest feeling in the world. When he left for the night, I still felt like I had a piece of him when his seed was inside me. I slowly pulled off him so the cum wouldn't drip everywhere before I lay beside him in bed. He lay there with his large dick resting against his stomach, a noticeable sheen glistening on it from my wetness. His eyes closed for a moment, like the pleasure made him drift right back to sleep. I was satisfied, but I had also failed in my mission. My goal was to get him to wake up, not climax, then go right back to bed. I watched him for a moment, seeing the way his breathing changed as he drifted back to sleep. It was unlike him to be so tired, so I let him be. I put my clothes back on and returned to the living room. The elevator doors opened and revealed Heath, who was turned around and facing the opposite direction.
Are you decent? Can I come in?
I was in jeans and a t-shirt. Other than the fact that I was a little sweaty from screwing Balto, I looked presentable. Yes. Heath turned around, then stepped inside.
And it's cool if I visit? I don't want that psychopath to shoot me in the foot.
It's fine, he's asleep.
Really?
He walked inside, looking identical to Balto. Since I knew Balto so well, I could spot their differences immediately. Their posture was distinctive, and their presence definitely left a unique impact. Do people ever get you guys confused at the underground?
No.
Really? I asked in surprise.
Balto has been with his men forever. They can practically sense him.
He joined me in the kitchen.
Did I stop by at the perfect time?
What's the perfect time?
Lunchtime.
He didn't touch me or try to give me a hug. He kept his distance, honoring his brother's request. Well, I was going to make a sandwich. You want one?
Definitely. I don't have any food at my place.
So you're here for free food? I asked with a laugh.
Yes, and I have no shame.
I made 2 turkey sandwiches and opened a bag of chips. We sat at the kitchen table and shared the large bag in the middle of the table. He took enormous bites of his sandwich, reminding me of a shark that took large chunks out of its prey. He ate faster than Balto, and with less restraint. His bites were always so big that it took him forever to chew. So who's the skank who left that lipstick mark on his neck? Heath was about to take a bite of his sandwich, but he lowered his food instead.
I'm sure he already told you the story.
Is she pretty?
She's a high-class prostitute, so obviously, but not prettier than you.
I smiled. Good answer.
Balto doesn't think there's any woman prettier than you. He grabbed her by the wrist and threatened to break her hand if she touched him again.
I lowered my sandwich back to the plate, imagining the scene in my head. He didn't tell me that part.
Because it makes him look like a dick. Threatening a woman? Not his style.
He tried to keep women off him, but there was only so much he could do. But the fact that he'd tried was sweet. He didn't seem like a one-woman kind of man, but that was exactly what he'd been with me. He was committed, loyal, and honest. It was sad to think that this arrangement would be over soon, once Lucian was gone.
You know he's obsessed with you. It's written all over his face.
Yes, I'd noticed a few times. Heath studied me.
And you're obsessed with him.
As are all women. Anytime he stepped into a bar, every woman wanted to keep him for themselves. He was sexy, strong, and protective. I'd never thought I needed protection, but now that I'd found a man who erased all my problems and kept me safe, I never wanted to lose him. It was the greatest feeling in the world. So what brings you by? He shrugged.
A bit bored, I guess. Balto doesn't have a plan for Lucian yet, so we're just waiting around.
I'm sure he has a plan. He's just not sharing it with you.
Maybe.
He picked up his sandwich again.
What are you going to do once Lucian is dead?
I don't know. I can't even imagine. I'd never really had freedom. Ever since Balto had taken me, I'd been locked in his compound and not allowed to leave. The few times I made trips were under Balto's supervision. The one time we went out to eat, we were attacked, and we barely got to enjoy ourselves for a full hour. It'd be nice to walk to a coffee shop and get a cappuccino, or just go shopping. Little things like that.
Where are you going to live?
I don't know. I'll probably move in with my older brother until I get a place. He nodded.
I've never met your brother, but I've seen him a few times. Balto says good things about him.
Because he's a good man.
You guys must come from a good family.
Yeah, we do. He finished his sandwich, then stared at me across the table, having the same stern expression Balto possessed. Balto hasn't mentioned his family to me. I know he has you, but he doesn't talk about your parents.
Not much to say, really.
I grabbed a chip from the bag and popped it into my mouth. I'm guessing they've passed away?
Yeah, it's been a while. Our father was an abusive alcoholic. He used to come home and beat our mom a lot.
When she tried to run away, he beat her worse. When Balto and I became adults, he hurt her so bad that she died in the hospital.
Oh, God. Heath didn't possess any emotion for the heartbreaking story.
Then Balto and I hunted him down and killed him. That's our entire family story. We stuck together after that, even though we had our differences. But no matter what happens, we both know we are all each other has. Neither one of us will marry or have children, so we're protective of each other.
Why won't you marry? He shrugged.
Neither one of us wants to. In our line of work, it wouldn't be a good idea. And kids would be an even worse idea.
Why?
It's not safe. If someone wanted to hurt us, hurting our wife and kids would be the best way to go about it. Our lives are always on the line, so it wouldn't be any different for them. Having a family would be irresponsible, frankly.
Family was the most important thing to me. I grew up surrounded by loud voices, family dinners, and Italian traditions centered around food and wine. There was nothing I wanted more than to have three kids of my own, just the way my parents had had three kids. The idea of sacrificing that for a job sounded heartbreaking. I wouldn't trade having a family for anything.
Then it's a good thing you don't have to worry about it.
Balto came down the hallway a moment later in his gray sweatpants. He took one look at Heath and showered him with coldness.
Before your thong gets too tight, Cassini said it was fine if I came over.
He grabbed a chip and tossed it into his mouth. I did say that, I said in agreement.
You forget this is my house, not hers, and I don't want you here.
He walked into the kitchen, then started to cook his lunch. Heath brushed off the insult like he was used to it.
Is he always this cranky first thing in the morning?
No, but he's a grouchy guy in general. He chuckled.
I'm sorry you have to deal with it every day.
I shrugged. It's not so bad. Balto took the seat beside me, along with his plate of fish and greens. Heath made a disgusted face.
Our sandwiches were so much better than that. I'll remember that when your gut comes in,
Balto countered. Does that mean I'll have a gut? I asked.
No.
Balto took a bite.
Women don't have guts. They have curves.
Heath rolled his eyes. I smiled. He always says the right thing. Heath grabbed another handful of chips and kept eating.
I told Cassini how you threatened to break off that whore's hand when she kissed you.
Balto kept eating like that meant nothing to him.
Why are you here, Heath? Your brother can't visit you? He countered. I see you at work all the time.
Balto kept eating.
Not the same, Heath answered. And I see you at the gym,
Balto added.
But we're working out and your earbuds are in.
Heath kept snacking on the chips.
Because I'm trying to tune you out.
Balto finished his plate, leaving nothing behind but the occasional leaf from the Brussels sprouts.
Well, I wanted to spend some time with Cassini, Heath said. The poor girl doesn't get out much. Don't worry about my woman. That's my job.
He grabbed his mug of coffee and took a drink. It seemed like all he ever drank was booze with the exception of coffee first thing in the morning. Heath snatched the bag of chips before he stood up.
All right, I know when I'm not wanted, but I'm taking these.
I chuckled. Enjoy. He pressed the button on the elevator, then turned to Balto.
We need to come up with a plan for Lucian soon. You're the man who said we should never underestimate our enemies.
The doors opened, and he walked inside. Balto rested his arms on the table and stared at his brother. The door shut and Heath disappeared. When his brother was gone, Balto turned to me. Now that we were alone, he stared at me with that hard gaze, giving me an unsettling feeling deep in my gut. Sometimes it felt like butterflies, and sometimes it felt like a threat. Heath told me about your parents. I'm sorry about your mom. He didn't show a hint of sadness.
Thank you. But I don't want to talk about her. I never want to talk about my family. That's a topic of conversation I don't participate in.
May I ask why?
It was a long time ago. Not worth mentioning.
Well, I just wanted you to know. I'm sorry. He faced forward again, dismissing my kindness.
It seems like every time Heath comes over here, he pisses off one of us.
He's not so bad. I think he just wants some company.
He can afford a hooker.
I rolled my eyes. Men don't just crave company in the form of sex. They need human interaction, just like women do. He drank from his coffee.
What else did he say to you?
That you don't have a plan for Lucian yet?
Don't worry about that. I'll figure it out.
I never said I was worried. I know you can handle him. He stared straight ahead. Is there anything I can do to help?
No. You won't be part of this. It's between him and me.
I know, but I can be of some help. I know his house pretty well. I've had experience with his explosives.
I said no.
His tone shut me up.
Lucian isn't like my other enemies. I can't confront him head on like I would with someone else. He's a coward, so he prefers to lay out booby traps. If I go to the wrong place at the wrong time, I could be caught in an explosion. So I have to think about this carefully.
I knew this kind of war was beyond my skills, but I did know a few things. I don't think he'd let me die if he could avoid it. He wants me dead, but only after he tortures me first. If you keep me by your side, that's just added protection.
I'm not risking you.
This man could take advantage of my position, but he cared more about keeping me safe. It was a sweet gesture, the kind that would make me miss him more. It made me realize Evan had never really cared about me. Maybe Balto was the first man who ever truly did. You saved my life by not giving me back to him. I want to help you in whatever way I can. He turned back to me, the anger in his eyes.
I said I'm not risking you, and I won't change my mind.
No. I locked my legs around his waist so he couldn't pull away. You've been gone every night for the entire week. Stay. I slept in this enormous bed alone, his smell the only comfort I had. It didn't matter how many times I begged, he never changed his mind. But I begged anyway, because saying goodbye was too hard. If I couldn't let him go to work, I didn't know how I would manage to let him go forever. He stayed buried inside me, his cock semi-soft because he'd just come inside me.
Baby, as much as I love watching you beg like this, you know I can't stay.
He held his massive body on top of mine with just his arms, his biceps and triceps working together to lift a slab of bricks.
I'm an honorable man. Honorable men don't abandon their post.
But you've been gone every single night.
That's how it is sometimes.
He kissed the corner of my mouth as his cock slowly thickened once more.
Your pussy is a fucking magnet for my dick, but it can't keep me here forever.
When his cock returned to full size, he started to move in and out of me, his length sliding past previous loads. It can try. My fingers slid into his hair, and I brought his lips to mine for a kiss. His mouth was immobile for a moment, like he wanted to resist me and turn away. But with his dick throbbing inside me, turning away my affection was impossible. His lips caressed mine, and soon he was giving me his tongue. His thrusts picked up speed, and then he was moaning against my mouth.
Fuck, you make me so weak.
He pushed completely inside me and pulled out again, moaning as he felt how wet I was. I know how much my man loves my pussy. My ankles released because he wasn't going anywhere, and I widened my legs so he could position himself deeper inside me. I broke our kiss to stare at his expression, to see him abandon the fight altogether. Now all he could do was enjoy me, even if his men were waiting for him to show up at the underground.
Yes.
His arms pinned my knees back so he could fuck me harder, make the headboard tap against the wall with his deep thrusts.
I love my woman's pussy.
He worked up a sweat as he kept the quick pace for several minutes, taking longer to come because he'd already pumped so many of his loads into me that evening. Stay inside me all night. My hands moved up his chest, and I looked him in the eyes, seeing him stare back at me with sexy concentration. You still need to fuck me in the mouth and the ass. He stopped mid-thrust, his eyes closing for a second as my words caught him by surprise.
Jesus, baby.
He stopped and shuddered, his body tensing as he released inside me. He pumped another load deep inside me, moaning louder than before. I gripped his hips and pulled him tighter to me, getting every drop of his cum. He breathed on top of me, his cock slowly softening. He rested his forehead against mine as he recovered, this Greek god covered in sweat. His breath slowed until his cock was completely soft inside me. Stay. My hands massaged his shoulders. Please. He pulled out of me gradually and let his cum drip from my entrance.
You know I can't.
He moved off the bed quickly, as if he was trying to get out of arm's reach.
I'll be home in the morning.
I pouted my lips as I watched him get dressed, disappointed I couldn't get him to change his mind. He moved quickly, getting his clothes on fast before grabbing his phone. He seemed to be in a rush to get out of there as soon as possible. He adopted his usual coldness, like he hadn't been buried inside me for the last few hours. Indifferent to my presence, he shut down all his human qualities. I sat up in bed, disappointed I couldn't seduce this man. It didn't matter how much he wanted me, his devotion to his position always triumphed over my desires. I was never the first priority. The Skull Kings were. He turned to me before he walked out.
I'll see you in the morning.
I'd lost the battle, so I caved. All right. He gave me one more glance before he walked out. When I heard the elevator open and close, I knew he was gone. I lay back in bed full of his cum and went to sleep.
Chapter 8. Balto. After I'd made my rounds, I returned to the underground. The men unloaded the van and carried all the cash into the main vault, a vault only I had access to. Every Skull King in the organization was rich, making millions every year for their deeds, but I wasn't stupid enough to let anyone have access to the vault. I was surrounded by criminals, after all. We were all weak for pussy, but we were even weaker for cash. I locked the vault, then returned to the main room. Heath was there, drinking with the rest of the men. When he spotted me across the room, he joined me.
I love payday.
That makes two of us. Denise put a drink in my hand without my having to ask. I sat on my throne and watched the men deplete all the bottles of liquor at the bar. If they were drunk, it wasn't obvious. Probably because we were all drunk all the time.
You've been at work every night this week.
Got a lot of shit to do.
Cassini must be disappointed.
Don't care if she is. Watching that beautiful woman beg me to stay every night was a fantasy come true. She used her best resource to seduce me. The one of her features I couldn't resist, her cunt. But it made me want to leave more often because I loved her performance. She was even better in bed than usual because she worked so hard to keep me by her side. He chuckled before he drank from his glass.
You really are heartless. If I had a woman like that waiting for me...
But you don't. I stared straight ahead and ignored him.
Do you ever get tired of being an asshole?
He asked playfully. Being an asshole? I questioned. I'm not being anything. I am an asshole. My phone started to ring in my pocket, so I pulled it out. Lucien's name was on the screen. Heath glanced at it, then met my look.
Should be an interesting phone call.
I set my drink down, then walked into the other room, away from the booming voices of the drunk men. I let it ring a few more times before I answered. Is this the phone call where we talk a bunch of shit to each other before we actually do something? Because I'm not much of a talker. I'm a doer. Lucien didn't respond right away, taking a long pause like he was enjoying the conversation.
It is one of those phone calls. I'll be making the threats, and you'll be doing something.
All right, this should be interesting. There was nothing Lucien could do to make me panic. Cassini was home, safe and sound, so he had no leverage over me.
Case is in my custody. Unless you hand over Cassini, I'll strap him with explosives and hit the detonator. Just as you took my brother's body from the grave, I'll destroy a case. So there's nothing to bury.
This would be a great plan, except I don't care about Case. The guy means nothing to me, and he certainly doesn't mean more than Cassini. Come on, Lucian, you're better than this.
Maybe he means nothing to you, but he means everything to Cassini.
All I have to do is not tell her. Problem solved. He paused.
Dirk knows what happened. So if you don't tell her, he will. I already know what your answer will be, but I'll give you 24 hours to decide.
I'm not giving her up. You're wasting your time.
Maybe you won't, but she will.
It was a winter night, and the city was quiet. Everyone was staying warm in their homes, so the streets were vacant. I leaned against the truck in the compound while my brother faced me. My light jacket wasn't warm enough to save anyone from the cold, but my high internal temperature made me invulnerable to the chill. Heath stared at me, in just a t-shirt.
What are you going to do?
Vapor escaped from my nostrils with every breath. I don't know.
You have to tell her.
I know. But I also knew she would want to take his place. She would rather die than let something happen to her brother. I would have to force her to let him die, and she would never forgive me for it. The darkness was starting to fade away because the sunrise breached the horizon. Heath had his hands in his pockets to keep them warm from the cold.
We could try to hit Lucian as soon as possible.
There is not enough time. I have no idea where he is, and more than likely Case is in a different location with the explosives already strapped to his body. If we really want to save Case, we would have to hand over Cassini. And that's not going to happen.
Cassini isn't going to accept that.
That's too damn bad. He shook his head slightly.
If he dies, you lose her anyway.
I knew how he meant those words, that Cassini would never look at me the same. She wouldn't want me anymore. She wouldn't allow me to touch her again, let alone look at her. I guess I underestimated him. We headed into the building and rode up on the elevator. Heath got off on his floor and I got off on mine. Cassini wasn't on the couch, which meant she'd slept in the bedroom all night. She was obviously getting better at accepting my absence overnight. I made dinner in the kitchen, then entered the bedroom. I kicked off my shoes, stripped off my jacket, and dropped my clothes as I got ready for bed. Cassini must have heard the sound of my movements because she sat up in bed and looked at me, her eyes heavy and lidded like she'd been sleeping soundly all night.
Good. You're home.
I sat on the edge of the bed and looked at her, dreading the conversation we were about to have. She leaned toward me and kissed me on the mouth.
How was your night?
I hardly kissed her back, and I didn't answer her question. I stared into her beautiful eyes, seeing the happiness at my presence. Soon those emeralds would lose their innate light, and she would glare at me in hatred. When I didn't respond, her eyes fell with suspicion, a cloud of unease settling in her gaze.
What is it?
This woman knew me so well that she could read the different variations of my stoic expression. I never hesitated to give bad news. There was nothing that could happen that would ever give me pause. I didn't care about anything, so I had nothing to lose. But knowing how much this would hurt her made me hesitate. I saw the love that existed between her and her brother, the familial bond that was so powerful it could be seen with the naked eye.
Balto, you're scaring me.
I'd never wanted not to hurt someone so much in my life. I wanted to protect her from this horrible truth. I wanted to kill Lucian and spare Case just to make this woman happy. Lucian called.
Okay.
She scooted closer to me, holding her breath in anticipation. I paused again, feeling like a coward for the first time in my life. He has Case. Unless I hand you over, he'll kill him. She heard every word I said, but it took her eyes several seconds to react. They fell in despair, slowly drowning in darkness. Her body stiffened as her spine straightened, and her hand slowly moved over her mouth, stifling a scream that never came.
Oh my God!
I hated seeing the pain on her face. I was tempted to look down, but that would be cowardly. I'd witnessed gruesome things, but they'd never disturbed me like this. Seeing the film of moisture form in her eyes killed me. Whatever pain she felt, I felt it a million times over. A few tears escaped, but she didn't sob.
No.
She dragged her fingers down her cheeks and wiped away the tears.
This can't be happening.
I wished I could make this better for her, but I couldn't.
I want him dead. I want to stab him in the throat with a knife.
She ran her fingers through her hair, and she digested her grief and rage at the same time.
This man has done nothing but ruin my life. He needs to die.
My hand went to hers. I'll get him, eventually. She squeezed my large fingers.
I know you will. Too bad I won't be alive to see it.
This was the exact response I'd been expecting. Baby, you know I can't let you take his place.
Why? Do you have a better idea?
She asked hopefully. No, I don't know where Lucien is, and I'm sure Case is in a second location.
Why would he be in a second location?
I wanted to keep this from her, but I couldn't. Lucien said he'll strap him with explosives and...
Oh my God!
She covered her face with both palms. My hand went to her thigh.
Baby, I can't let that happen to him.
She dropped her hands.
My brother doesn't deserve this. My brother isn't a part of this. I love him so much, and I refuse to let this happen. I would rather die a million times than let him suffer.
I know, but...
I'm taking his place.
She spoke with a steady voice but wet eyes.
You can't make me stay here. You can't make me stand aside and do nothing.
And do you expect me to let you hand yourself over to Lucien? That I'll just let this happen? Case wouldn't want you to.
I don't care what he wants. This has nothing to do with him, and it's unfair. This is between Lucien and me. I never should have submitted to him for Evan, and I regret it. But I'll regret not saving my brother every day for the rest of my life. I'll be so depressed that I'll kill myself eventually. It doesn't matter if Lucien tortures me every day until I beg for death. I would gladly